It's The Fix. One thing leads to another. 6:34. It's your bonus hour of the afternoon mix. We're in the overtime section here. I'm your host, specialist Michael Platy, or Mike on the mic. Heard some Counting Crows and Days of the New just behind that. But I am not alone in the studio. No. Oh, no. I am joined by Brigadier General Stephen Lanza, MNFI spokesman. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me on your show again. It's always great
Absolutely.
To come
Long
back.
Time no see, sir.
A couple weeks.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. So we want to talk about, first, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. And more importantly, happy holidays to everybody out there in the listening audience. And I'll say it right up front, but thanks for what you guys do day in and day out. Thanks for your sacrifice, and thanks what you mean, and thanks for all you do in terms of what it means to our continued mission here for success. So thanks again, and happy holidays to everybody out there.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into it here. Want to talk a little bit about, can you give us some more background on the Iranian takeover? That's probably not the proper word, but yeah, the Iranian incursion
sure.
of Oil Well Number 4
sure.
last week.
Let's put that in context.
Sure.
Really, the takeover was by a few people that crossed the border. This is an oil refinery or an oil pump that is not productive right now. It's 500 meters from the border. There was an incursion of a few Iraqis or a few Iranians across the border. I think more importantly is how Iraq responded. Iraq responded as a sovereign nation. This was resolved politically. It was resolved diplomatically between the ambassadors and between the two countries. So obviously, Iraq asserted themselves, and I think it shows that Iraq is now going to stand on their own two feet, and they certainly don't want to be a proxy of Iran. So the way the prime minister and the way the leadership of the country handled as a sovereign nation is something I think to be commended.
Absolutely. And so less specifically about exactly what happened, you know, number of troops from Iran that came over. But just in a broader sense, you know, we are through the security forces agreement. We are helping the Iraqis when they ask for it. That is kind of our role now, to advise and assist and to be there for them when they call on us to. Where does that kind of relationship end? You know, with this, when you're talking about sovereignty of the Iraqi government, when they deal in foreign affairs like that, right, where does our support end?
I think importantly is that we're going to be here to support them as strategic partners as part of the security agreement until our mission ends. And I just got back from Abu Ghraib today, and you see partnership actually on the ground. I mean, I was out with 4-2 today and a company out there, and just a tremendous job in terms of what those guys are doing. And they have redefined our role in Iraq in terms of how we're partnering with the Iraqi military and what that means in terms of enhancing security for people on the ground. Now, as the security agreement ends with our mission here, more importantly is our strategic partnership and our strategic relationship with the government of Iraq. And that's where the strategic framework agreement comes in, because we're going to have a future relationship with Iraq. We're going to be strategic partners. And this is what is going to happen between our two countries. And what the military has been able to do really is that security has underpinned how we're going to relate with Iraq in the future. And that's why the security agreement has been so important, because it underpins exactly that future relationship we're going to have with the strategic framework agreement.
Absolutely. And talking about looking forward and kind of redefining our role here, we at Freedom Radio have been talking a lot recently about the transition to USFI. Can you explain how this transition, not in broad terms, from MNFI and CORE and all under one command, but to, say, you know, the Joe on the ground in Baghdad or Kirkuk, yeah, how is that going to affect
him? I think to the young soldier out on the ground right now in Kirkuk or wherever, this is transparent. Okay. He is part of a battalion. He's part of a BCT or an AAB, and they're part of a division. So it's transparent to them. This is a bigger issue for us of just combining some of the other headquarters that we've had here at the operational level. So you'll take what it was known as MNCI, the Corps, MNSTICI, which does the training and advise mission for the Iraqis, and combining those headquarters where we're U.S. Forces Iraq. So that headquarters will be operating from the strategic all the way to the tactical level, talking with the divisions. But to the soldier who's working day in and day out on the ground, it will be transparent to him in terms of how he conducts his mission.
Okay, so most of the day-to-day operations for soldiers here, not going to really affect the transition to USFI, but that was developed to the actual, you know, this is partnered down and it's part of the withdrawal process because of the, you know, the efforts and hard work of Joe on the ground.
Certainly.
But it's not going to affect them day to day.
It is not. And certainly part of our conduct of responsible drawdown is to cut down the size of the headquarters here. And as we do that, there'll be obviously a cost reduction of well over 2,000 troopers as we do that, as we cut down the size of the headquarters. But again, to the soldiers that are out there, sailors, airmen, and Marines, this is part of our responsible drawdown. It's part of the fact that we've already had 60,000 soldiers go back, and you know, we were at 175,000 just a short 14 months ago. We're about at 113,000 now, and we're going to continue our responsible drawdown. It'll be at 50,000 with a change of mission to stability operations by August of 2010.
Absolutely. And kind of speaking, you were recently in Dubai speaking to a broader Middle East press corps. Can you elaborate on what the overall mission here and the success that we've had here in Iraq over the last few years? Can you talk about what that means to the region as a whole?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of going to Dubai was to educate Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, and some of the other Arab media networks, some of the major networks, on what has gone on here and the success that has gone on here, not just in the security area, but what security has allowed the Iraqis to do on the political and economic front. So it was a chance for me to educate some of the Iraqi some of the Arab media on just what's gone on here in security and take away some of their preconceived notions about some of the issues that go on here. Every time you have a high-profile attack, it does not mean that Iraq is fracturing. It does not mean that national unity is breaking down, and it is not stopping Iraq from moving forward. In fact, what we have really seen is that it's galvanizing the population to continue to move forward towards the national election. So it was an opportunity for me to talk to the pan-Arab media and give them a really good sense of what is going on in Iraq today.
And did they raise different issues than you usually deal with here locally when dealing with Iraqi press that are on the ground here that do see the progress? Does see the progress being made? Do they see that? Do the Middle Eastern wide, do they see that progress, or are they still under the kind of previous mindset?
Well, I think that's part of the reason I went there, is so that we could articulate to them some of the progress we've made based on the security gains that have been completed here over the last 2 years. If you put this in perspective, just 2 short years ago, we were at 1,400 attacks per day. And if you look at security right now in terms of just how far we've come, it is tremendous. And that's what's given the Iraqis the opportunity to move forward and build that strategic depth in the political, economic, and diplomatic area. So it was a chance for me to talk to the people in Dubai about that, but more importantly, to educate them on the regional aspects of what Iraq can do to bring stability to the region and continue to grow the area both in a political means and for economic prosperity.
Well, for the service members out there listening, can you expand on that idea of, you know, what it means, what a, you know, sovereign and stable Iraq with free elections, a democratic Iraq, what that would look like and what that would do to the region here, the kind of progress that would create here, all the hard work that the service members have done?
Yeah, just a couple of things I think to offer to your audience. As a result of what's gone on here with security, Iraq has really gone forward to move not only on the political front. Let me highlight a couple of things. Seven countries right now have already come here to put embassies here. That includes the Arab League, which is very significant. Prime Minister Maliki met today with President Mubarak in Egypt. Egypt has put an embassy here, which is extremely important. So there's a variety of bilateral agreements that are being done. More importantly, on the economic front, I think we've talked about this before, is that economic conferences with a variety of international businessmen held in the United States, held in Germany, held in London, and then recently, just yesterday, there was one going on at BIOP with Japan. So you're seeing economic investment, you're seeing people that want to come here to facilitate private investment. When you create those jobs, when you stimulate the economy, it helps security. And then to highlight the BIDS conference that was just completed, where 7 of the 10 major oil fields in Iraq were bid by the Ministry of Oil. That was done in complete transparency. It was broadcast on TV. There were 44 international oil companies from 20 different countries that came here to do this, and they did it downtown in the red zone. So that is significant in terms of how Iraq is developing as a sovereign country, but more importantly, the desire to stimulate this country with private investment.
Absolutely. And so that does seem very important to the future stability of Iraq. I mean, having, you know, a stable economy, having jobs and international business in here. But is there anything, there's only been two U.S. companies that have signed contracts with the oil ministry to develop oil fields here. Is there any pushing towards getting more U.S. investment here?
Yeah, and I think I just did this on another radio station before I came in here. One of the concerns was, you know, how did American businesses do? And when you look at American businesses, 20% of the production for these contracts went to U.S. companies. Now, the U.S. companies were in the lead on one major oil field, which was ExxonMobil at the West Qurna field. But when you look at the U.S. companies that were part of a consortium of other international oil companies, 20% of the overall production that was gained by the bids round one and bids round two went to companies within the United States.
And that
is fairly significant. So I think overall we're well postured here. But more importantly, this is not so much about oil. It's about making sure that Iraq can move forward as a stable, sovereign, and self-reliant country that helps build security in this region, and that the development of oil revenue will be something that allows the company to move forward, because that's where they're going to gain their revenue from.
Excellent.
And by 2013, we would estimate that that's when they'll start generating their revenue, and in between that, we would want private investment to facilitate that and bridge that gap until 2013.
So it might not be a U.S. company's name at the top of the contract, but it doesn't mean that some of that business isn't going to a U.S. company.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And ExxonMobil was one of the bigger ones in bids one with the West Kerna field.
Wonderful. All right. So moving on to something that's happening tomorrow, kind of a holiday-related event. Some U.S. service members and Iraqi musicians are teaming up tomorrow for a concert that we here at AFN are actually filming. Can you give us some a little bit more details about the event, A, and kind of its symbolic meaning and what that means to the partnership?
Great question. I think this is fairly significant. The Iraqi National Symphony is going to play at the British Embassy tomorrow, and they're going to be joined by the first team band out of 1st Cavalry Division, America's Corps Band out of the out of 1st Corps out of Fort Lewis, and then the Red Bull Band out of 34th Division out of Rosemont, Minnesota. You know, as you bring these soldiers together, as you bring these orchestras together, you know, it shows Iraq from a perspective of normalcy. It shows that during the holiday seasons, we as strategic partners are going to take the time to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate as partners. And this issue of partnership with the Iraqis is extremely important. And it shows that Iraq wants to be, you know, normalized. And that you have this being done at the British Embassy with Iraqi musicians. There'll be kids there, Iraqi children there, parents, and it'll be a very great event. And a lot of our soldiers will be there as well. So this will be a wonderful event, and I appreciate you guys broadcasting it and getting it in the news tomorrow. So we're very thankful for that.
Absolutely. Will you be there, sir?
I will try to be there.
Will you hold me a ticket?
I'll save you the best seat in the house.
Wonderful. Excellent. All right. And just wrapping up, is there any special holiday message you want to throw out to the troops listening?
You know, to everybody out there, to all the troops listening, we would not be where we are in Iraq right now without your dedicated support. And I've said this before, is that for those of you who've been here 2, 3, and 4 times, this is a return on the investment. And there's been a lot of sacrifice by a lot of people that have got us to this point. And Iraq is postured right now to move forward as we go towards the national elections. And we're postured with our responsible drawdown to complete this mission. But I would encourage everybody to continue mission. I thank you for what you guys do. And I wish everybody a happy holidays. And we could not do this mission without you out there. So the best to you and the best to your families. And thanks again for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. And we are going to go out with a pick of yours. It's a holiday pick. Do you want to lead into it, sir?
Well, sure. Being from New York, I'm a big Springsteen fan. So this time of year, one of my favorite songs is Santa Claus is Coming to Town by The Boss. So
wonderful.
Again, happy holidays to everybody out there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir.